Corinthians is up in another book that you're all very familiar with. Perhaps never read it the entirety of your lives. Give you the opportunity this afternoon of receiving a copy of God's Word for yourself. Read and see for yourself the things that of which I speak to you are indeed in accordance with God's Word. Important that you have first-hand information and not just going on hearsay. A lot of people, they'll tell you what the Bible says, but they don't know any more than you do. Never read it. Just passing on to you what they've heard other people say the Bible says. It's the Word of God, and it's the only resource that you have to come to a knowledge and knowledge of God and to know salvation, deliverance from the coming wrath, to know God's wonderful and free grace. So a copy of an extract, at least anyway, from the Bible is offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you yourself. The Bible, God bids you to be reconciled. The sin, you see, it's an awful thing. It alienates a man, alienates people from God. Because of your iniquity, says God, you're separated from Him. A gulf, you know, a breach between you and your Maker, the one who made you for friendship with Him, one who made you to walk with God. But sin came into the world by one man. That sin, of course, has passed to all men through all the generations. And it's that sin that keeps you from that friendship with God, that walk with God. Your sin, your iniquity, rebellion against God, any way in which we come into the world, the Bible says, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, and of course unfit for God, unfit for heaven, unfit only for hell. In the Bible, you can read these words for yourself. God says, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God, you see, has made provision. God has made a way possible for that alienation to be healed. God has devised the way in which sinners alienated from Him can be restored to Him, to friendship, to relationship with God. That way, of course, is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Peace, you see, is proposed on God's part. That, of course, is not something that you yourself would seek after, even give any thought to whatsoever. For as the Bible says, God is not in all your thoughts, not at all. There is none righteous, no, not one, says God. None who understands, none who seeks after God. If He did not seek for you, if He if he was not conciliatory, peace between you and God would never be, unless he seeks you. And of course, in his Son Jesus Christ, well, the Bible tells us that he came to save sinners, and he came to seek and to save that which is lost. But God, you see, in Jesus Christ, is indeed conciliatory. He seeks peace. He has made a way of peace. God, the Bible says, was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Jesus Christ, by the blood of his cross, has made peace. But that peace, of course, it has to be received willingly, deliberately, consciously by you in the reception of God's Son, Jesus Christ. He came to his own, but his own received him not, but to as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right, the authority, the power to become children of God, reconciled and brought into the family of God. God seeks men, but men do not seek God. Come now, says God, and let us reason together. But he does say now. He doesn't say tomorrow. He doesn't say next year. He doesn't say at the end, the close of your life, whenever that might be. He says, come now, because the matter is urgent. He says, come now, because delay is dangerous, because you do not know what a single day will bring forth. This could be, solemn though the thought may be to you, this could be your last day, the last opportunity that you receive, you know, to hear the overtures of God's conciliatory love and grace. You may not have another opportunity. That's why God says, come now, because procrastination, putting off till tomorrow what ought to be done today, is a dangerous business. And I dare say there are plenty, many people in hell today, right at this very moment, who had plans to look into these things in the future, who thought to themselves that in their old age, perhaps, they would begin to think about such things, maybe perhaps take to reading the Bible and inquiring into what God would say to them. But they left it too late, and of course, their end was not good. Eternal destruction rather than salvation. So come now, says God, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Come now, he says. God entices you to think, you see. Come now and let us reason together. God made you a rational creature, you know, with the ability to think. And of course, to think with an open Bible in your hand is what God has in mind. That you begin to think God's thoughts after him. And of course, were you to begin to think, instead of just taking on board, you know, what other people tell you. The most of you, I dare say, are indoctrinated with this evolutionary lie from the cradle, and the most of you to the grave. You know, you get it from ungodly parents, ungodly teachers, school, college, university. It's pumped into you through the media throughout the generations. Until, as it is now, you've got a society that's hooked, that's addicted to this lie of evolution. Well, were you to give it some thought, you know? Were you to put your mind to work? I know that's difficult for this generation, you don't like to think, you know. You want it all done for you, handed to you on a plate, you know. Shown to you on a television screen or a movie screen. But ask you to think, ask you to actually use your mind, use the God-given faculty of reason. Well, that's a big ask, I know. That's a lot to ask this generation. But God does call you to that this afternoon. Come now, he says, and let us reason. Let's think about this together. And of course, were you to do so, were you to give some consideration to what you've embraced in this evolutionary, ungodly, this life from the very pit of hell. Some people, of course, they refer to it as being a theory, but that's to give it far, far too much credibility. It's not a theory at all, it's a lie. And of course, were you to think about it for 5 minutes, perhaps you would come to that conclusion too. Instead of just shouting out the word science or scientist like that was some kind of magical mantra that makes God and everything else that you don't like go away. No, people, think about it, will you please? You couldn't have a meaningful thought. You couldn't do science. You couldn't think. You couldn't do anything at all of the things that you do unless God had revealed knowledge to you. You do not get the laws of nature. You do not get the laws of logic. You do not get morality from a material universe that hatched, you know, as a result of some magical, phenomenal explosion that came from nobody knows where. No, you can't even get past the beginning, you know. All you are is just a piece of stardust, you know, according to the evolutionary lie. A piece that broke off, you know, the material universe. And here you are, you're able to think and you're able to do science. You're able to do all these wonderful, wonderful things that mankind can do. Why? Because you're just a chip off of the material universe, a piece of the primordial stardust, a piece of chemical fizz. You see, people, according to evolution, that's all you are. So you couldn't, if that were true, you couldn't do any of the things that you do. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. God has revealed things to you about yourself, about the universe in which you live, and the world, and that's why you're able to do these things. But of course, that's why, because God has made you a rational creature. He gave you a brain. He gave you the ability to think, you know, like dogs and cats can't, you know, like elephants and crocodiles can't. You know, out of all the creatures that God made in the beginning, created, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. And when God created man, he created man in his own image, with the ability to reason like no other creature can. All the other creatures cannot do what you can do, because God made you.
God bless you again.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. God made you with the faculty, the ability to reason. And that is why he says to you, come now and let us reason together. And the enticement, of course, to reason, well, of course, it's against your nature, isn't it, so to do? You see, you're born in sin, God says, conceived in sin. You come into the world with a bias away from God, with a bias towards sin, you know? The love affair with sin begins in the cradle, you see? It begins right from the moment that you're born. a love affair, a passionate affair with sin. But that's an affair, you see, that has to be broken off if you're to get right with God and go to heaven. The love affair with sin is what keeps you from the light, says God. You know, your deeds are evil, and so therefore you will not come to the light because you love the darkness, and the darkness, of course, being sin. Of course, rather than reason with God, think with an open Bible, you would prefer, you know, some kind of false religious observance, you know? Mohammedism or Romanism or Buddhism or Confucianism or some fantastic New Age stuff, you know, paganism even, the paganism to which your nation is very swiftly returning, even at this time as I speak. But of course you would prefer that to, you know, rationality. You would prefer that to reasoning, thinking with God, and thinking his thoughts after him. And then, of course, outward actions, you know. Well, you see, I'm just one of these people, you know. I get on and do it, you know. But that won't put you right with God, you know. All the actions, all the good deeds, your righteousness, says God, they're like filthy rags. That's the best of your deeds. The best of your deeds. Your kindnesses even, you know, that you perhaps show to your fellow human beings or your fellow creatures. They are like filthy rags. The best, not the worst of your deeds. The best of them, says God, they're like filthy rags, untouchable by God himself. God, the Bible says, is of purer eyes than to behold evil. Cannot even look upon you because of your sin. So you see, your religious observances, paganism, you know, your false religion that abounds. Someone once put it this way. He says, the human heart is an idol factory, you know. You produce idols by the day and galore. Well, people, that, as I say, will not get you right with God. Come now, he says, and let us reason together. Let's think this thing through together. You see, it's only when you begin to agree with God and you begin to think God's thoughts after him, his thoughts revealed, that is, in the Bible, concerning your sin and your alienation from God, and how that breach can be mended through the death of his son on the cross 2,000 years ago. But then, of course, God says, come now, because, well, God himself and the relationship with him, your soul, you see, your eternal soul, heaven and hell, you see, hangs upon these issues. If you will not be reasonable, and if you cannot be reasoned with by God, well, then there is no hope for you. You're already without hope, the Bible says, in this world and in the world to come, you see. Cut off from God, from the covenant of God, his grace, you see, his loving kindness, his great mercy and salvation. You're cut off from such, alienated. And that's why I say to you week by week, implore you even, be reconciled to God through his son Jesus Christ, because the issues are serious and solemn. Heaven and hell, eternal damnation or eternal salvation, eternal destruction or eternal life, which will it be? Well, says God, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, he says, they shall be as white as snow. But then, of course, if you just simply neglect this enticement, you know, your sin's not going to go away. The alienation will not heal itself. Many people live, of course, with the delusion that well, they don't know quite how, but, you know, they're quite sure that God, at the end of their course, will allow them, permit them into heaven. And when I ask them why, well, they tell me because I'm a good person, you know. Never robbed a bank, never murdered anyone. I'm a good person, so, well, I think, I hope, not sure, but I hope that God will allow me into heaven. Well, people, you ever told a lie? You ever lusted after the opposite sex? That's adultery of the heart. You ever stolen anything, big or small? No thief, no liar, nothing unclean will ever enter my heaven, says God. So you see, the alienation between you and God caused by your sin, a breach caused by you yourself, your sin, you choose to live in sin. And of course, if you choose to die in sin, oh people, there will be no heaven. The alienation, it will not heal itself. It won't get any better. In fact, as you go on in your life's course, it gets worse and worse by the day, because you become harder, you become more cynical, more unbelieving, more unreachable. That's why not many elderly people get saved. Some do, but not many. Mostly young people who get saved and added to God's kingdom. So come now, says the Lord, and let us reason together. Because your sin's not going to go away of itself. God Himself must deal with it in His Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way by which the alienation can be healed. And of course, is it not an amazing thing to you that God should thus entice you, you know, to come to Him and to reason with Him? I mean, the Queen would not invite you to debate with her, but God Almighty, the maker of the universe and everything in it. God who formed the worlds, made you and gave you your being, He invites you to come and to, if you like, debate and to reason with Him. I mean, is that not a very gracious offer? That God should be thus minded, you know, that He should be conciliatory to you, a rebel, a criminal in the eyes of God. That's an amazing thing to me, the grace of God. It's a wonder, you know, not everybody's saved. Not everybody comes to know God's salvation. We know this by experience, and, well, we know it from the Bible too. But that God should save any, and that God should plead with you this afternoon, implore you, in fact, that you be reconciled to God. Well, that's an amazing thing to me. You know, that He doesn't just sweep everybody, the entire whole human race, into the damnation of hell, because that's what we deserve. None of us deserve God's salvation. But here, He very graciously, kindly, compassionately bids you, entices you. Come now, He says, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So you see the enticement that God makes here. You see, it shows a willingness on His part, does it not? You know, a desire for peace and a willingness to forgive. More willing to forgive than you are to be forgiven. But of course, well, the gospel, you see, the very fact that we have the gospel to proclaim, that God has given us His word, and that He sent His Son into the world. So loved the world, says the Bible, that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And the fact that His Son came, lived and loved and died and rose again from the dead. in order that people, men and women such as yourself, rebels against heaven and enmity in your hearts against God, wicked, evil sinners, that God should graciously, compassionately, kindly be willing to forgive and be willing to reason with the like of you and I. Come now, says the Lord, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. The very fact, you see, that Jesus stretched out his arms, permitted himself to be nailed to that Roman cross, and shed his precious blood in order that you might be washed and made clean, and that you might be made right with God, you see, it shows and presupposes a willingness on the part of God that you should be reconciled, that the alienation should be healed. But come, says God, and come, of course, just as you are. He doesn't require of you that you should reform yourself. He doesn't require of you, you know, that you tidy yourself up, get your act together, get rid of a few sinful and wicked habits, and then come to him. You might think to yourself, well, I'm not fit to come as I am. I need to change myself first before I can possibly have anything to do with God. Not so, says God. You come as you are, you see the grace of God, willing to accept the worst and the best of sinners, you know? The dirtiest, the most unclean, the vilest. Come just as you are, he says. And let's talk about this thing. Let's reason together. Let's see who's right and who's wrong. And I think, you know, were you to do so, were you to open up God's Word yourself, the Bible, I mean, take a perusal, if you like, of the Ten Commandments. You would tell me that you're no sinner, you know? Read those Ten Commandments. Just a glance through them is all it would take you, you know? And then come back and tell me you've kept perfectly every one of those commandments all the days of your life without break. To love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind is the first commandment. If you've not kept that one perfectly all the days of your life, every moment of your life, then that makes you a breaker of just the first commandment. That's without the adultery, that's without the lying, that's without the stealing, that's without the uncleanness. You see, people, there's not a man who has not sinned. Not a woman, you see. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all vile, all deceitful-hearted, and desperately wicked, says God. None righteous, not a single one. And yet God graciously to all such lawbreakers, he bids you, he says, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. But an example, you see, of the reasoning that God requires, you see, the impediment, you see, the scarlet sins, you know. Because that's what your sins are like, you see, against a holy God. You see, you maybe pass muster with your peers. Your family members might think to you to be a very good person. Well, that's in their estimation, of course, but not in God's, the thrice holy God, you see, who is of purer eyes than to behold evil. You see, he calls each and every one of us glaring, awful sinners. And people, you see, that's why he bid you to come to him in order that sin might be dealt with, and dealt with properly and thoroughly. And of course, Well, God, you see, in bidding you come to him, he says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. He vouches to remove them, you see, as God alone can, you see, to bring an end of the warfare between yourself and God. Bible says the sinful mind, the carnal mind, the natural man or woman, you see, born in sin, is born in enmity against God, at war with God. And many people, they ask the question, when will there be an end of war? When will there be an end of all this slaughter and killing in humankind? Well, not as long as man's at war with God. How can there be peace in your world? How can there be peace in your homes? How can there be peace in your hearts as long as you're at war with God? An impossibility. Peace must be made. But this is the very reason why God calls you to reason with him, that an end of the warfare might be made. You laying down the weapons of your warfare, stopping fighting against God and subjecting yourself to him. You know, in submission, raising the white flag in surrender to God. Some of you, of course, you ask for proof, you ask for evidences of God, but you don't need that, people. You don't need that at all. You know that God is as much as I do. God says he has made it plain to you. He has shown it to you. He says you even understand it. But you suppress the truth, you see. You hold the truth about God down in unrighteousness. And what God requires of you is simply and only that you surrender to the God you know exists, and to the God who would be reconciled to you should you come and reason with him. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God vouches, you see, to remove the sin, remove the blockage, remove that which keeps you from God, your iniquity, your rebellion, and of course to make peace. That's the reason why, you see, he sent his son into the world, that peace might be made between man and God. He pledges, you see, to remove the guilt of your sin. You may say, well, I don't feel guilty. Well, I'm sure that's what just about every criminal has said this morning in the magistrate's court over the way. Well, Your Honor, I don't feel guilty. But of course, being found to be guilty, they're guilty whether they feel it or not. And it matters not how you feel about it. You see, your very conscience testifies with me. Your conscience agrees with me, or rather agrees with God. Your conscience is a response to God. It either accuses you or it excuses you, one or the other. But it's proof, you see. It's proof, you see, of the matter, guilt. Guilt there is, you see, and the only commodity, you see, that can remove the guilt is the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed on the cross. Nothing else will do. As the hymn writer poses the question and answers it, he says, what will wash away my stain? He says, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So you see, God pledges to remove the guilt. Will your sins be as scarlet? They shall be as white as snow. To remove the penalty. For the wages of sin is yet death, you see. Always has been, always will be. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death on every occasion. When sin comes to its full-blown condition, it ends in death. It can do no other, people. The only way you'll ever prove that you're not a sinner is by not dying. But all die. It's appointed for man to die once. After this, then, of course, comes the judgment. But you see, death is threefold. separated from God now in this world, spiritually, physical death, which will come to all of you eventually, and then the second death, if you're not saved, the lake of fire, the damnation of hell, that awaits all impenitent sinners, rejecters of this offer, you see, that God makes to you this afternoon. Come now, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God vouches to remove the penalty, to take away the death sentence, to grant you a pardon, open your cell door, and loose you off of death row. But here you are, you see, sinners, to a man, to a woman, and you're all on death row, just awaiting the execution. If you do not repent and believe the gospel, that is, that will be your end, eternal, everlasting death. So come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. And of course, God also vouches here to loose you from the dominion, the rule of sin. Oh, you say, you're a free man, you're a free woman. Is that so? You're not ruled by sin then? You're not ruled by sinful habits? You can walk away from them? You can walk away from all your problems, social problems and the like. No, people, not free at all. Not free at all. Ruled by sin, under the dominion of sin, each and every one of you. And you can't break, you can't cancel the power of one single sin. Because inside each and every one of you, you see, is that principle of sin, and it governs, it rules your life, you see. You can do no other. All you're free to do is just simply to sin. But God, you see, here in this offer that He makes, He vouches to break and to cancel the rule of sin in your life. The only one who can, you see, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus that is, shall be saved from sin's penalty, its power, and of course its presence in your heart and lives, and your world at large as well too. Come now, says the Lord, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Free forgiveness, you see? Absolutely free forgiveness. Nothing to pay, you see? You don't have to work for it. You don't have to be religious for it. You see, it's all totally of grace, you see. The free favor of God, you see. If you have to work for it, be religious for it, if you have to do things for it, then it's no longer of grace. But you see, men would rather be religious, and they would rather work for it. But you can't work for it, because God, He says, He's declared in His word that no flesh shall ever be justified by works. You see, it comes to those who do not work. It comes to those who simply trust, who take God at His word, you see, and receive the free forgiveness. It's free. It's already been paid for. The Son of God paid the debt in full. But of course, that forgiveness, that free forgiveness, you have to receive it by faith. It's the only way that a man or woman can get right with God. The alienation be healed. Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. If forgiven freely. A full atonement, you see. The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, has the ability to blot out, you see, your every sin. No matter how many, no matter how gross, no matter how deep, and no matter how long you've been at it. Full atonement. The blood of Jesus Christ covering your every crime against God. and renewed, of course, regenerated by the power of God's Holy Spirit. You see, unless a man is born again, Jesus says, he cannot see the kingdom of God, cannot enter the kingdom of God, let alone people them. They cannot understand it, let alone enter into it. You see, that's why this is not understandable to you. That's why, you see, it's an object of mockery to you. You see, we're born stupid, we're born foolish, you know. Your understanding has darkened your minds, you see. Like the rest of you are fallen and broken. And unless God renews your nature, unless you're born again, you see, Jesus says, well, as one good bishop once said, unless you're born again, the day will come when you'll wish you'd never been born at all. So you see, that's the promise, that's what's offered to you here this afternoon. Come now, says the Lord, and let us reason together. Free forgiveness, restoration, you see, of your fallen nature, and a full atonement for all of your sins. But then, of course, well, arguments are raised, you know, as to why you shouldn't partake of the offer. Well, you see, if you knew my sins, you know, my sins are great, they're enormous. If you knew the things that I'd done, you wouldn't be saying this to me this afternoon. Yes, God would. Maybe you'd say, well, the number of my sins, you know, they're for millions in number, you know. And I've been at it so long, the blackness of my sin. Oh, if you knew the things that I'd done in my past, now you would not be offering free forgiveness to me. Well, yes, God would. Yes, He would. Because the offer is made to all sinners. No matter how dark, no matter how many, no matter how black they be, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. There was a murderous thief on a cross next door to Jesus, dying at the same time on Calvary's hill. And at his last moment, he turned to Jesus and asked him in faith to remember him. And he was assured at that moment that that murderous thief, that he would be forgiven and that day be in paradise. Of course, in the Bible, there's only one dying thief that was saved. I don't advise you leave it that late. But as God says, come now. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Let us reason together, says the Lord. You might argue, well, my sins are lifelong, you know. They're deep-rooted and they're deep-dyed. Well, I say to you people, there is no sin deeper than the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And the grace of God is immense, deeper than any ocean that you care to think of. Oh, vast, immeasurable, the abounding grace of God towards sinners. It's an amazing and marvelous, it's an astonishing thing that a holy and righteous God, whom you've rebelled against and lived your life long in rebellion against, that He should be conciliatory to you, that He should be in Christ seeking to reconcile you to Himself, spilling the blood of His Son on a cross so that you could be washed and made clean. So don't be letting that keep you away from God and being reconciled to Him. Maybe, perhaps, you would argue, you would say, well, I've long sinned against the light. I've known about these things. I was raised in them. And maybe perhaps you taught them to others, maybe in a Sunday school or such. Maybe you were raised in the church. Maybe you walked away from it. You know, you understand these things, and yet you've lived in rejection against them. Well, there is only one sin that's unforgivable, Jesus says in the Bible, and that's the sin against the Holy Spirit. So lest you've gone that far, you're not beyond redemption. Even though you may have sinned against the light, even though you may have lived in the rejection of the light, salvation is still a possibility. Reconciliation can be made. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be sins against the light of the truth of the gospel, the good news of God's salvation, yet salvation could be yours. Oh, you see, perhaps, maybe I've grieved the Holy Spirit, and well, certainly do, with your mockery, with your foolishness, your sneering, with your rejection of the truth, with your blindness, and with your love of sin. It's a grief to God, you see. A heartbreak, if you like, to God, that a man, a woman, made in the image of God, made for better things, should live like brute beasts, should live in drunkenness and filth, you know? Wallowing in the mire of sin like a pig in the muck. You know, that a man or woman made in the image of God should live such a way. You know, animals, they kill one another for survival. It's only men and women made in the image of God that do it for pleasure. That do it just out of their good pleasure because they love sin, they love wickedness, because they hate God and hate their neighbor, their fellow man. No man ever loved God or loved his neighbor until he was born again. You do it quite naturally. Until your nature's changed. Till you're born again, till God deals with you. As he does here and calls you to be dealt with. Now people, no change in humankind. No change in the human heart. Not till you change the human heart itself. Make the tree good and the fruit will be good. Make the heart of man good. And the fruit, the practice will be good. But not until heart surgery you need. Not a religious plaster. Plasters just fall off. Heart surgery, people. And of course, performed by God Himself, circumcising your heart, giving you a new nature, and giving you new life. Come now, says the Lord, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So don't let that keep you back in any despair that might lie in your heart. So many people and so many young people today that, you know, in despair they commit suicide, top themselves. It's chronic. Taking all hope away from them. When you took the gospel away from your young people, you left them running on empty. They've got nothing to turn to. The emptiness of your society, the vanity of your lives, and this rubbish and nonsense of evolution that you've taught them in schools, little wonder they despair. Little wonder they're topping themselves when they run out of hope. Now don't be despairing. Don't be despairing. Despair caused by your sin, maybe. A hopeless case, you say, no way back for me. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. God hasn't forgotten to be gracious. God hasn't forgotten to be merciful. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. He can still save. Only one thing that keeps you from God's kingdom. Unbelief. Unbelief. I don't condemn you. I don't need to condemn you. You're already condemned, God says. This is the condemnation. You have not believed in God's only Son. Unbelief, people, that's what keeps you from God, from His kingdom, from His forgiveness. That's what keeps you from the atoning blood of Jesus Christ that would bring life and liberty, love and hope. Now, unbelief, people, nothing else. So come now, says God. Don't slight the offer that God makes. Don't make your case worse. Coming to God can only do you good. Can't do you any harm. He's your best good. Your worst people are staying away from Him. Been away a long time, rejecting, unbelieving for a long time. Bring an end of it. Repent, turn around, change your mind about God, about His offer, about His Son, about your sin. Change your mind. That's what the word repentance means. Kingdom of God's at hand. Repent and believe the gospel, says Jesus. Be reconciled. Glory on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. Today, God would make you whiter than snow. Wash away your sin. Scarlet, red like crimson. All washed away in the blood of the Lamb. God's Lamb. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. People, Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. Men and women, in nature and practice, contrary to God, Christ died for such, that you might be reconciled to God. Now is the accepted time, says God, day of His grace and favor. Will always be, time is short. Repent and believe the gospel. While there's yet time, be reconciled to God. You want to check these things out for yourself? Read for yourself and see. Offer you a copy of God's Word. Yours to take and read for yourself. Come to your own conclusions. Offer to you, as I say, free of charge. No cost, no obligation to you. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word? You come and ask.